The art of making golf balls of potatoes is a very simple thing and a very easy thing, but it's very difficult for anyone who has never done it before. For instance, people who try to make golf ball potatoes in a frying pan are not very successful unless the frying pan is filled with oil, and that's a rather dangerous thing to do. So you want to have a pan that's filled with oil like you make French fries in. Now, why would anyone want to make circular potatoes, the little circles of potatoes? Because we watched it on Kate and Leopold last night and today. And so we've gotten a little attraction to those things. But what's the benefit of something like that? Well, the benefit of something like that is that if you make them right, they are 100% oil, and they are not very tasty, not very delicious. There is an art to making them, and the art is having a strainer that has many holes in it, and you take these things and you put them in the strainer and you just whirl them around in the oil by itself, and then lifting it out, not leaving it in there too long, and then serving it. But if you leave it in there too long, you have pure oil potatoes. And of course, this is an art that is difficult to know if you have not practiced it. Now, you may ask the innocent and silly question, how do people make fried mushrooms and not fried bananas? How do people make fried bananas? To keep them in the shape that they are, and to keep them nice, and to keep them so that they're not just pure oil. Well, that again is done in a similar type way. You use this type of a strainer that lets the oil out, and you just sort of whirl it around and keep it whirling around, and pretty soon you're not really trying to cook the insides because the potatoes are already cooked. You've already made the mashed potatoes and they're already cooked. You're merely putting on a little extra outer coverage like parsley on your salad. So, remember that. Remember, when you buy fried chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the fried chicken is cold, you don't stick it back in the frying batter. You put it in the microwave oven for a few moments and let it heat up, and then it's all just perfect, just the way you want it. Moist and nice. But if you put it back in the frying batter, you will have such oily chicken that it'll be totally unappreciated by anyone who has to eat it or wants to eat it or tries to eat it. The techniques of learning cooking, the techniques of learning to live, are very similar. It's not a matter of having had the experience of doing it, but what is it that you want to do? I wrote a series of points for you a number of years ago, and they were called Points for the Monks on Giving Talks in Preparation for Seminars and Other Things. And I wrote all these points out, and I wrote all these talk titles out, and I remember you gave a few of them, but you were not too enthusiastic about it. Think about this. You say to some person who has moved here from a culture that does not have gas stoves, electric stoves, and other things like that. Well, that wouldn't be fair, because they probably do what I'm going to tell you to do. Okay, let's take a little girl whose mother has never let her in the kitchen. The mother always wanted to do the cooking herself. So the little girl goes to a high school or elementary school where she's learning cooking. And in the class, all the little girls are said to prepare some potato balls. And so she says, oh, this will be fun. And so she prepares the potato balls from the mashed potatoes that are already cooked, and she makes them into wonderful little golf balls, and then she doesn't watch what the other children are doing, but she just puts it in her frying pan and you know, like pancakes, and flop up and down and up and down and up, and then she's got coins instead of balls. And the teacher says, well, let's try that again. So the teacher sits her down, not at the stove, not anywhere else, but says to her, all right, now, what you want to do is to gently get the oil on the outside of the potato ball that is scalding hot, so that it will sear the outside of the potato ball and put a nice little brownish crust on it and make it just absolutely delicious. And you want to do that so gently, you don't want any oil to get inside the potato, because there's plenty of moisture and plenty of oil inside the potato already. And so the teacher says, how would you do that to her young student who may be 10 or 14 years old? It doesn't matter. And if the girl is analytical at all, and girls usually are pretty analytical, they can think through a problem, analyze a problem very nicely. And she says, well, teacher, I want to use the scalding hot oil, and I want to use just a little bit of it. And I want to be able to control my golf balls. And so what could I do? And so she's thinking, well, now I could take a spoon and put it in like I put in eggs to boil, or I could, you know, take a spoon that has a strainer in it, you know, and run it around in there, all which are good ideas. And then the teacher says, well, now, what if you have to make 50 of them, or make 25 of them, you know, having a spoon like that, everybody else will be cold by the time you get the last one's done. And she says, well, I need a bigger strainer. Well, what would you use for a bigger strainer? And so she says, well, I could use a colander, which is for rinsing lettuce and rinsing things, and I could put that in this boiling cauldron of liquid oil. And teacher says, yeah, that's a good idea. But the difficult thing is you can't control it. You have to use hot pads to pick it up and hot pads to put it down. And by the time you do this, you're not in control. What would you do? And the teacher says, okay, sweetheart, let's take a walk through our kitchen. And so the teacher takes the student, and all the others are listening very intently because they're not sure, but they think they know what they're doing, and because their mommy has taught them things. And so the teacher goes through the cupboards and says, all right, now, let's bring all these things out. And they bring all the pots and the pans and the strainers and the spoons and the ladles and all the things out, and they lay them on the floor so everyone can see them. On the floor? Yeah, so everyone can see them because they can look down and see them. If you have to look up on the bench for those little people, it's not so easy. So, and the teacher's been around a while. And so they lay it all on the floor. And then the little girl says, oh, I like this one, a great big strainer with a big handle on it. And the teacher says, all right, go get it. So she picks it up. She can hardly lift it. You know, it's made out of stainless steel, and it's heavy. You know, it's a big one, maybe about 18 inches across. And the teacher says, well, you do have a generous heart. You know, you want to get them all done at once, but what can you handle? And so the girl picks up four or five different strainers, and she says, this one I can handle very nicely, and it's maybe about 8-10 inches across. And so she takes the strainer. Now the teacher says, okay, now I have some sample to use. Let's take these golf balls I have, because we call them golf balls, and let's put them in there. Now, how would you move them around in there so that they would brown on the outside? And so the girl, not having the scalding water or anything, she took the sieve and she moved it around like this, and she watched as the golf balls turned and gently moved and gently moved. And the teacher says, yes, that's good. Now, none of this, woo, because you'll splash the scalding hot liquid out, but just a gentle moving around, and you put it in, down in the liquid, and bring it up and move them around, and down and up, and move them around, maybe three times, just a second, down and up, and move them around, down and up, move around, down and up, and they're done. They're absolutely done. And you take them and you gently put them out on some paper towels so it absorbs all the extra oil off of it, and then you get your next batch and your next batch and your next batch, and pretty soon they're all done. And if for any reason they get cold in the process, just put them on a tray, a plastic tray or a microwave tray, and put them in the microwave for 10 seconds, maybe 20, but 10 seconds, no minutes. And they will be heated all the way through once again, and they will be crispy and beautiful and succulent like you can ever imagine. And so the little girl goes home and tells her mother that she has learned all about making, you know, golf ball potatoes. And her mother says, "Wow, will you show me?" Because her mother doesn't do that, you know, it's a lot of bother. And so she makes these golf ball potatoes for her mother, and her father comes in and says, "Wow, you are good." And it's only been her first day in class. Imagine what's to follow. Now, what made this girl successful? Was it that her mother taught her, that her teacher taught her, or that she used her intuitive understanding of what to do? The teacher says, "Now, what can you handle? Now, what size pot would that go into? It's got to be deep enough so that the bottom of the sieve can get down in there, but it doesn't have to have a lot of oil because you're just dipping it in there a little bit and rolling around, dipping it a little bit and rolling around. And so you need only maybe 3 inches of oil down there. And then you just move them around." Now, what has this to do with a metaphysical talk? Well, it has to do with a metaphysical talk insofar as if we do not stop and think over something as simple as making golf ball potatoes that are nicely roasted on the outside and fried on the outside, if we don't analytically think about how to do such a simple thing, what are you going to do when you're into introspection? What are you going to do in introspection? And I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but what do each of you do during your introspection time? Do each of you spend that time listening to the divine within you? Or do you spend that time getting to quiet time, getting to your quiet place? Do you spend that time in saying, "Now let's see, what shall I discuss with God? What shall I think about? You know, what problems shall I bring to God, you know, my divine inner self? What problems?" I have a feeling that these latter things are where you really were going. Introspection is the time of saying, "Okay, God, I'm listening to you. Answer me in one simple word, if you can, in one instant, if you can, what it means to say, all is in divine order." It's done. All is in divine order. Now, if you go into your meditation or your introspection and you say, "All is in divine order," then all your preparation work is done, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You turn it all over to the divine in you to reveal to you, if it chooses to do so, whatever it is that you choose to experience. But if you don't say all is in divine order, not that that's the only technique, that's merely one. It's a good beginner technique, and it's a good supergraduate student technique too, because they're not, in between times you get messed up on all the details. When you begin to learn to do that, you begin to make golf ball potatoes perfectly because you think it through. What's the best way for you to contemplate your divine inner self? The best way for you to contemplate your divine inner self is to be peaceful and quiet and listen within and say, "I am at peace." What?
I am peace.
I am peace. And what else would you say?
All is in divine
order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Is there anything you have to do then?
No.
It's all done. It's all done. You put the cause in motion and you get the results. Your analytical thinking that helped you make your golf ball potatoes or helped you create a culinary delight, that same analytic thinking is what you do when you go into your inner self. What are you doing when you're doing your analytic thinking about making golf ball potatoes? Is it fun? You bet it's lots of fun. When you're making your culinary delight, is it fun? You bet it's lots of fun. When you're working on the cars like Anita does, and she's not had experience on certain ones, and she says, "I know the answer." And she goes within and listens, and the answer comes. It may say, go to the book and look up the diagrams and see how to handle it in the manual. Or it may just say, here, wiggle this plug once. Ha, 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 ha. It's loose, isn't it? That's why you weren't getting any compression, because your spark plug had worked itself loose. You got to take your spark plugs out now and then, and you have to brush them, and you have to clean them, and you have to check the area in there to know how wide it's supposed to be, the gap. You have to check the spark gap, and then you have to screw it back in tight, because a lot of times you don't screw it in tight. I've worked in many garages where the fellows would do their job, and then they'd leave the sparks to be tightened last. They'd just give them a twist and a twist and a twist and click, 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 twist and twist. Sometimes they'd forget. They'd forget to tighten them. And I would always tell them, no, there's one way to do anything on the cars. You do them all perfectly at once. This corner and the opposite corner. This corner and the opposite corner. Then the middle, then the middle, then the middle, then the middle, and then the others in. But all down tight. And you do them with a gadget, which is a pressure wrench that tells you how much pressure you're putting onto the nuts, so that you put only the right amount onto it. But you do put the right amount onto it. And these are very important things to know. And it's fun. It's fun listening to the divine within you reveal the answer to everyday circumstances and everyday problems. It's fun listening to the divine within you tell you how to cook potatoes, you know? It's fun. Now, Ingeborg approached us with a problem. She says, my tools and my blade for the cutter have been moved, and I don't know where. Now, Ingeborg is going to go to the divine within herself, and she's going to say, all is in divine order. And the divine within yourself is going to tell you right where to go, and you'll say, well, I knew that. I had seen them there. I had forgotten about it because I told myself that someone else took it. You know, every time we think someone else did it, we forget that we're the ones who probably really moved it in the first place. I have the two discs for Corel 10. And I took them out of the box, and I put them sideways down into some desk drawer, into something somewhere. And they are there. And at the moment, and at the past moments, I have looked for it diligently and have not come up with it. Now I'm going to have to do the last draw and let the divine within me really reveal it to me. So we'll expect to have Corel 10 on our hands shortly. But this is how it works. This is how it works. We have within us the knowledge, the wisdom to do anything we want to do. And when we let it function, then it's fun. We have that analytical self about ourselves, the digital self, the analytical self. We have the analytical self which knows how to think. And so we think harmoniously. We think balanced, we think with peace, and it is revealed to us. So it's kind of nice, isn't it? It's kind of nice. So let's all get used to making potatoes and making golf ball potatoes in a perfect way, because if they're soaked with oil, I'm guaranteeing I wouldn't care for them in the slightest. If French fries are soaked from outside to inside with oil, they do not delight me. If French fries are just cooked potatoes that are just gently browned on the outside, they're lovely. They're lovely. And the kids at McDonald's and the other fast food places know how to do it. They have this big wire net, you know, and they put all their French fries in there, and they stick it down in there, leave it down in there maybe 20 seconds or maybe longer. They pick it up and shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, put it down once again, and another 20 seconds. Then they dump it out on their little container and stir it up and add salt to it, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And it's not a matter of being down in there and boiling in the very living daylights out of it. But it's just giving it a little bit of love, and then wonderful things happen. So, I love you, and enjoy your potatoes.